B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick before we get back to your phones, Bleacher Report has a story out. Headline, his passing numbers don't lie. Tom Brady really old. And then it goes through all sorts of numbers that highlight the fact that Brady is not just in decline, he's old. And, you can read it for yourself at bleacherreport.com. What are your thoughts on that story, Greg?
My thoughts are, it's entirely factual. There's nothing to really argue about with the story. It's more, what are the root causes? Is it just Brady, or is it, the weapons that he has at his disposal and, all that stuff? What's the disbursement?
Well, I guess here's the question. Do you believe the numbers are down because he's getting old? Let me go first. I don't. I don't think that's it. I think it's everything else, including his buy-in this year, which is less than it's been in the past. And I've been over this a million times, but he approached this year differently. And I think it hurt him. I do not think he's down because he's old. I think, he's going to be roughly at the same level. He should be roughly at the same level from 40 to 43. Okay, I understand 40 is going to be different than 33, okay? In fact, somehow he got better. So, however that happened. But from 40 to 43, it's going to be roughly the same. He's down this year for everything else, including his approach. But it's not because he's old. That's how I feel.
Well, physically, there's nothing. No, physically, he has not declined at all. There's nothing wrong with his arm. Is he hurt? I don't know. Sometimes he looks it. Sometimes he doesn't. There's no question that his level is lower this year. One of the things I wrote about on Monday was about Brady against these Chargers, because he's going to face pressure in this game. He's going to get hit. How is he going to react? Is he going to turtle away and not want to see it and the Patriots have no chance? Or is he going to stand there and take a beating like Phillip Rivers did against the Ravens? And that is going to happen. How is he going to react? To this point in the season, there's no question he's been worse against pressure. And I do think some of that has to go with the talent. But, over at ProFootballFocus.com, last year when he was MVP, Brady was first in passer rating, second in completion percentage against pressure.
In the league.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he was MVP. He was awesome last year.
This year?
This year, he is 15th in passer rating and 22nd in completion percentage among starters.
Against pressure.
Against pressure. That's been the difference in his play and, in my opinion, the offensive play. Now, again, I don't think that is all Brady. I think some of it is, I'm not going to sit here and be Chris Gasper and say it's 15%. It's more like, 40, 60, 50, 50.
Yeah, so let me give you my percentage, because I should have done this when Chris was here, but I thought about it. So it's down. The passing game's down in that situation, in most situations. How much is on Brady? 51%. Sounds a little weaselly, but he's just over half the problem. How's that?
So I would put it at 50-50, but I know why you did it. But that's why you did it the way you did it.
Because 50-50 is a little bit of a cop-out.
Yeah, but to me, it's the passing game is absolutely down. There are no two ways about it. And I do think it's partly the result of age. See, I do think he's lost something with the arm, unless it's an injury we don't know about. But until further notice, I'm sorry. I can't get there with a 41-year-old guy and say, oh, yeah, it's not age. I just can't do it. I personally cannot do it. So he's got to show me that it's not age for me to believe that.
So we can agree to disagree. I don't think age is a factor this year. It will eventually, but I don't think it's this year.
I don't think there's anything wrong with his arm. What tells me that is in both Bills games this year, he had identical throws to Edelman. They were kind of deep outs. And when he threw howitzers both times to Edelman with a heavy ball, and to me, he looks fine. And so, to me, that's not an issue. To me, the issue is him staying with plays, taking them deeper into the down, not just dumping it off, not quitting on screen passes to the fullback just because he doesn't want to hang on to it, and does he want to step into the throw and throw down the field, or is he afraid of getting hit? That's been the difference this year.
He's spun out of a lot of throws. And I don't know what to attribute that to other than anything that, other than he doesn't want to get hit.
And he did last year. You go back and you watch last year's Chargers game, And he did, because he got, I think he got pressured almost like 45% of the time in that game. I mean, Bosa and Ingram kicked the crap out of the Patriots last year, and Brady was under pressure, and he would spin out a lot of throws, but he would wait until the last second and get rid of it, and usually got rid of it accurately, dumped it off to the running backs. Now, we can get into more into that. The Chargers have adjusted from that whole Seattle, Gus Bradley, cover three, they're going to give you the underneath stuff. They've adjusted a little bit there, and it's going to cause the Patriots probably a little bit of problem.
How have they adjusted?
Well, yeah,
I want to know about this, too.
It's because they put more defensive backs on the field. So it's no longer like, you know, with Seattle, you would always have the linebackers there. And yeah, those guys can run, but still linebackers. And the Chargers, you know, the Jaguars, where Bradley was, you know, the Falcons, all those guys would keep linebackers on the field. Now, they've basically kept one linebacker on the field, and they're running. Like, they're having Derwin James. It's like Kansas City. He would take the running back out of the backfield. Like, he's no...
Derwin James plays what position?
He's a safety.
And he can
run. Dude flies, and he's big. And so there's no, you know, linebacker. I'm sure there are times with the linebackers covering the running back, but they had real issues covering running backs out of the field, so they have adjusted later in the season.
So this is why you were saying it's so important to run, because it's not the true cover three that Seattle played.
No. It's a bit different.
Because the Patriots couldn't run against Seattle, and they threw it through successfully.
But Seattle kept their linebackers.
Correct. This is what I'm saying.
It's a heavier defense. This is a light defense. And you're saying that this wasn't just a one-off against Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. This is what they do.
Yeah, this is what they do. Because I went back and I was like, okay, well, I want to watch film against teams where they're being challenged and there's a bunch that they have to worry about. So, you know, I watched the Chiefs game, especially the second Chiefs game, and you know, they have like three or four safeties that they bring down into the box, and those guys are covering people in the short area of the field. And the other thing related to the Patriots is the book on Brady this year is cover the short area of the field, make them throw deep. So I expect the Chargers to do a lot more of that, you know, this time around.
Do you trust that the San Diego coaches can think like this? And, you know, because, I mean, you can do it. This all makes sense to me. I feel it, you know, and then you'd play, like, say, a team like Pittsburgh, and they'd play a soft zone with guys off, and, you know, it's like, if that's sort of a clear-cut way to defend, how come everybody doesn't do it? Because not everybody does it. Do you trust Gus Bradley to game plan it that way?
I probably wouldn't have until this Ravens game, but for him to come up with this sort of, you know, wrinkle against Lamar Jackson and playing them the second time around gives me a little bit of confidence that they, you know, they will do what they need to do against the Patriots, but there will still be, you know, plenty of cover three in the game. And last year, man, all Brady did, he only threw, I think, 9 or 10 passes beyond 10 yards against the Chargers last year. I think he was like 6 of 10 or something like that. But he didn't do that. They gave them the dump off to the running backs, and that's what they did all day long. I don't think that's going to be there this time.
The idea of the Patriots having a run scares the crap out of me.
Why?
They're a good running team. They drafted a running back in the first round. It's Sony Michel.
Chargers have a good defensive line. Okay, that's one. And maybe it's more light on the edges with the pass rushers. Okay, so fine. You say you can run. Who's going to run it? Sony Michel? In a playoff game? So this is what worries me. I don't think he's going to make it. A physical, hard-hitting playoff game? He won't last 60 minutes. Not that guy.
Come on. How can you say that?
No, he won't last.
It's been a while since he went out of the game, and he got like bent backwards.
He
gets bent backwards, but
yeah, boy,
you can't say.
Boy, he acted like he got shot by a rifle on that one.
How long ago was that? Come on,
he doesn't strike me.
2 months ago,
this is Maz wanting to be right about he sucks his he blows thing from earlier in the year.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that wants to play. First of all, he's bad on short yardage. How many short yardage situations are you know?
He's not a short yardage back. That's not his fault.
But this is my point. In the playoffs, every carry's like a short yardage carry with the physicality of it. He's going to get the crap kicked out of him.
Jimmy, clip this one, too. Sony Michel's getting hurt on Sunday.
Yeah, when he goes for 203 touchdowns.
You'll be singing my praises on Monday.
10 questions with Bedard around the league right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes around the league and involving the Patriots. We have to stay on time, so Jimmy has buzzer options for us. What are they, Jimmy?
You mentioned Sony Michel.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Oh, sorry. That was an old one. My fault.
Perfect timing, though. Perfect.
So this next bunch is from Jim Irsay's Drunken Post Game Show.
There it is. Excellent.
I'm a rainmaker. You know, I'm not. It's party time.
This clown.
Why hold on kicker punt returns?
What?
I know you guys, and you got more in the tank.
Oh, God, he does sound hammered. Next. Now. Texans. I got the Texans. Thank God I didn't have to back that one up. Someone's going to beat you, so I'm going to pick against them every week. That I stand by.
Most everyone's probably a little worse in the postseason than the regular season. I don't think that's exclusive to Brady, but it's definitely exclusive to Brady.
All right, that one came out wrong.
That's a good one.
How do you feel about Philip Rivers as a guy?
Tool bag.
That one, too. All right. Yep, any of them. They're all good. How do you feel about Philip Rivers as a guy?
Tool bag.
Number 10, Matt LaFleur. What the WTF? That is a question mark at the end of it. What?
What, you don't like the flower?
I want your thoughts.
I don't know a whole lot about him, but from what I have heard from people, I'm not encouraged. But, hey, he's not the head coach of the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is now the head coach of the Packers, so get used to that.
I mean, that's pathetic, really. I don't have an answer for you on that one. I don't understand that. But it does speak volumes of Josh McDaniels and maybe how some people are looking at him versus how we look at him.
We'll get to him in a second.
Well, I think what it speaks to is everyone truly is looking for the next Sean McVay. This guy was 1 year under Sean McVay with the Chargers last year, and it's not like he really did anything. McVay runs the offense there, and they're looking for the next Sean McVay. Everyone wants him. So this is who you get. Matt LaFleur. Enjoy him in Green Bay.
You've got Aaron Rodgers at the tail end of his prime, you know, maybe 3 to 5 years. And you're gonna start that off with a first-year head coach who's going to learn on the job? Oh, God. Oh, please. That is freaking embarrassing is what that is.
Most everyone's probably a little worse in the postseason than the regular season. I don't think that's exclusive to Brady, but it's definitely exclusive to Brady.
Well said. Okay, number 9. Your thoughts on McDaniels. How come McDaniels didn't take that job, and where do we stand with him right now? And why wasn't he offered the job?
Well, number one, I think it's because the GM there is, you know, he's running the show. I mean, he's not going to bring McDaniels in, and who wants to run things his own way, and all of a sudden after a year, Josh gets in Murphy's ear and says, it's the GM's fault. I need to bring in my own guy, that sort of thing. So I never thought that was going to happen. I mean, the only way I thought McDaniels was going there is if Murphy liked him enough and just got rid of everybody and say, do what you want to do. Okay. You know, I didn't think that was happening.
How about Josh's future? Where are we with that?
You know, I know he said, whatever, the door is closed. You know, we'll see when the Patriots get eliminated, where Cleveland is, all that stuff. I think it's possible. I think it's a long shot, but, you know, I think we're right back in the same place next year.
Is it possible that Green Bay just didn't want to get used by Josh McDaniels and have him turn around and get more money out of the Patriots to stay as the offensive coordinator? I don't know. I mean, to me, with him, that has to be asked now.
Yeah, maybe there's just too much stink on him. Failed in Denver, and, you know, his word is mud after leaving the Colts at the altar last year. And it's easier to go with the fresh, new unknown in this Matt LaFleur. So, again, enjoy him, Felger.
Oh, I'm not going to. Next.
I know you guys, and you got more in the tank.
Yeah, he sounds wobbly there. Number 8, I've asked this a million times before, but let's reset based off of current events. Who's the next head coach of the New England Patriots? Not who you want, but who you predict who it's going to be.
Right now, I'd have to say McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
Of course it's McDaniels.
Okay, so give me another name.
Bill O'Brien.
Ooh, good one.
I was going to say the exact same thing. You know, this isn't who you want. I think O'Brien's overrated. I'm not, but if it's not Josh, I just, you know, play it out. You know, Bill's going to have another year or two down there in Houston. Belichick's got what? At the high end, 5 years? Is he going to go beyond 5 years?
No.
All right. So, I mean, it just might time out where Bill O'Brien is out of Houston. Maybe he's a coordinator. And McDaniels has moved on by that point. And who are they going to be left with? You know? And so I would not rule that out, as scary as that is.
Nick Caserio.
It's been a long time since he's.
I don't have another name for you. I mean, I can give you the one I want, but
who do you want?
No, stupid Harbaugh. Get over that.
Harbaugh. Give me Jim Harbaugh.
He failed in Michigan.
You're not gonna have a quarterback. Give me someone who's gonna actually make them interesting.
Get David Shaw at Stanford.
That's who you want?
Yeah.
Who do you want, Greg? Who do you like?
I love Shaw. I can't wait till he gets, you know, in the NFL game, but I don't think he will. He loves it at Stanford.
Next.
I'm a rainmaker. You know, it's party time.
I'm doling out Percocets here, awesome. Guys.
Number seven. I asked you this last week, but I'm going to reset it now based off of current events and add a little twist to it. Pick one guy to go forward with. Only one guy. Who would you take? Mitch Trubisky, Lamar Jackson, or Nick Foles?
Trubisky.
Foles.
Trubisky. He showed you something. He showed me something in that game. A little bit.
I mean, they were designed plays, and you know, they took the thought out of it. I still don't know whether he can think on the fly and all those things you have to do to be a high level quarterback. But you know, at least I know he's a good athlete, has a really good arm, and he has shown some signs that he can be a good quarterback.
And I think he's going to get coached properly. You know, so that I know I'm putting him on my team, not with Nagy, but Trubisky is the one that I would bet on next. Someone's going to beat you, so I'm going to pick against him every week. Cleveland, that situation. I stand by that. I will pick against you every week and enjoy it. Who's the next coach of the Cleveland Browns? Who should be the next coach of the Cleveland Browns? Who should be?
McDaniels. You know, go home. He's got Baker Mayfield. He's got all that cap space, all that stuff. He should be. He won't be because of Dorsey. I mean, I don't think Dorsey's high on him.
But he wants, there's a GM in place who wants to run the show, and the coach is going to have to answer to the GM.
And I don't think they've had much overlap at all. I mean, I don't think they haven't, and I don't think there's much of a relationship there. And Dorsey's very much a sort of feel type of guy, go by his gut instinct, which is why I thought he was going to take Baker Mayfield, because he likes that sort of cockiness type of guy in a quarterback. I just don't think Josh is his type of guy, not after what happened in Indy last year.
You find it interesting that McDaniels all of a sudden has like pulled himself out of, you know, the running? Like, doesn't that tell you that Cleveland's got something bigger?
Yeah, well, I mean, it tells you that, oh, you don't want me? Well, I'm out. I don't want it anyway. You know, it's like Trump.
Oh, maybe.
You know, it's Trump. When the team won't go to the White House, well, you're not invited anyway. You know, it's like, it's that thing.
Take control of it, yeah. You can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It should be Mike McCarthy.
Nick Saban.
It should be Saban. You like Mike McCarthy there?
Yeah. Well, you are always talking about how he built that offense there and brought along Aaron Rodgers. So do it with Baker Mayfield.
Saban, that's a great call. Prove it, Nick. If you're the greatest things in sliced bread, your farts don't stink.
Oh yeah, and you got Mayfield there, like the whole nine yards.
Tons of money to spend, long runway. Go prove it. Prove it at the highest level. Next, how do you feel about Philip Rivers as a guy?
Tool bag.
Okay, well, that ties right into our next question, our standard weekly question, biggest tool bag charger. You can go all time on me if you want. You can go right now if you want. Answer it however you like.
Sean Merriman, total tool bag.
Yeah, it was an easy one.
That sack dance.
Yeah.
Lights out. Is that what it was?
Yeah, lights out. I went Kellen Winslow. I hate that guy. Hate Kellen Winslow.
The dad?
Yeah, the dad. Ever since that playoff game where he made all the catches and they had to carry him off the field. Oh, you drama queen. Shut up.
That was a big night for you.
Oh, well, God, man. Please. He's such a drama queen. Tool bag.
It's Sean Merriman. I want to say Phil Rivers, but Sean Merriman's even worse than
or LT.
Next. Now. Texans. I got the Texans. Number four. Who's your favorite Charger of all time?
Stan Humphries.
Oh, good one.
Horrible one.
Oh, my God.
I liked him.
Why do you like Stan Humphries?
I don't know. I just liked him. He's kind of like one of those journeyman guys who, you know.
He was the quarterback of the team.
Kind of like Mikowski in Green Bay.
That went to the Super Bowl and got, you know, the whole team got its ass handed to him. You like that guy?
Yeah.
Aye.
I also had Marion Butts and Natrone Means. I like their running backs, Sproles. They had some good, cool running backs.
Yeah, you like the big fat running backs. That's what you like. Natrone Means and
big boys.
Butts, Marion Butts.
Yeah, don't get in our way.
So I went one old school, one new school. Rodney Harrison. How do you not love Rodney Harrison? That's a biased Patriot fan pick, though. The other one is Charlie Joyner. I loved Charlie Joyner. Classic pro wide receiver. Get open, make the catch. He was awesome.
Even before he was a Patriot, Rodney Harrison can't teach mean, and he always played right on that line, often went over it.
Really? I almost had him on my tool bag list.
Oh, I loved Rodney.
PEDs.
But it was really more as a Patriot than a Charger.
Hey, get him mailed to you next time. You know,
He wasn't smart about the PED thing, but, you know, he's just not smart. It's not like you don't blame him for the PED thing. Whatever it takes.
Can I give you one more tool going back to a question?
Yeah, sure, please.
Dan Fouts. Tool. Absolute tool. Worse as a broadcaster than a quarterback.
I liked him as a quarterback, but man, the broadcaster.
You didn't like him as a quarterback?
Tool bag.
He was a fun quarterback. That was always a fun
team. I was
going to
say him or like Don Coryell, just because they just chucked the ball down the field. They were fun to watch.
Fun team. Next.
I know you guys, and you got more in the tank.
John Elway is reportedly deciding between Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and Steelers offensive line coach Mike Munchak as his next head coach. Your thoughts?
Blah. How do you like the Don now, Felger?
I don't like the
God, man, has he been terrible or what?
Feels
quarterbacks, sketchy. Coaches. He's brutal. He's going to get fired next.
Feels sketchy.
So here's what I feel. He needs a fall guy. It's going to be a while there. So you know what? Hire a bum, fire him in 3 years, and by then maybe you find your next quarterback. Like, you're going to suck for a while, so really suck and get high draft picks and hire a transitional guy who's going to ultimately get fired because you're not going anywhere in the next couple of years anyway.
He's lucky that family is squabbling over the ownership. The Bolins apparently all hate each other, and they're trying to figure all that kind of stuff out right now because John Elway should be fired how he's handled this team.
Next.
Most everyone's probably a little worse in the postseason than the regular season. I don't think that's exclusive to Brady, but it's definitely exclusive to Brady.
All right, sure. All right, I'm messing. Number two, should the Chargers be in Los Angeles? We talked about this yesterday with Murray. Should the Chargers even be in L.A.? And is their temporary stadium an embarrassment? Will it be embarrassing if that's the AFC Championship game?
They should not be in L.A. They need to go to a city where they're the only game in town. I mean, they're always going to be in the shadow of the Rams. And about the stadium? Yeah, I don't care. I think it'd be cool for them to play in a soccer stadium.
No, they shouldn't be in L.A. Yes, it's an embarrassment to play in a 30,000-seat stadium in the AFC Championship game, if that's what it comes to.
Shouldn't be there. They can't fill a soccer stadium with their own fans. No one's ever going to care. It's a disaster, and I kind of hope it happens so that the league has mud on their face and they have to explain it. We're holding one of our marquee events in an effing soccer stadium in a city where the people don't even care about the team.
You're also wrong, except for they don't care about him now. Of course they don't care about him now.
They're never going to care about him.
Well, okay, we'll see. But this is a play for the next 20, 30 years. It's for the next generation. This isn't about this year. So San Diego does absolutely not deserve an NFL team, that one-horse Mickey Mouse town. So they went to a real city. That's a hugely important market to the league. So they no problem having two teams there. Do they care now? No, they don't, but it's not about now, which is why the stadium doesn't matter, because it's not about now. So they're there temporarily. They'll move into the best stadium in the history of sports on the planet in a couple of years. That's what it's about. It's not about now. There's nothing embarrassing
Nobody
about
wants
it.
Them there. The league doesn't want them there. The Rams don't want them there. Nobody wants. The only reason that they're there is because nobody wants those owners. They don't want to give them anything.
Well, but I don't know who does the league want there?
They just want the Rams there.
The league wants one team.
Yes.
There?
Yes.
Well, F the league. LA can handle two teams, no problem, and San Diego doesn't deserve one. So what? So move there, and it's a temporary thing. I have no problems with it across the board. And if they turn into a winner, they win this year and win subsequently, they'll have fans. That'll happen over time. Of course it will. How do you feel about Philip Rivers as a guy?
Tool bag.
Last question. Give me your upset special this weekend, or unless you like all the favorites, tell me that. What do you got?
Well, my number one upset game is the Colts. But I think the Chargers have a good shot this weekend. That's it. The other two games I don't think can happen.
Dallas. Rams. Dallas over the Rams. Dallas has won 8 of the last 9. The Rams sputtered at the end of the season, and they have no defense. I think that defense is wildly overrated. Dallas is going to win that game.
Colts and Dallas. There's your two upsets this weekend.
Okay, Dallas is getting smoked. The upset is the Chargers. Back to your calls, I promise, right after these words.
Felger and Maz. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones, as promised. I know you've been waiting a long time. Thanks for hanging on. Try and be succinct, please. Derek in Foxborough, go.
Yeah, you guys are talking about Saban. I think he's completely overrated. I mean, he's the Rick Pitino of football. He was a complete failure with the Dolphins, so I think he's overrated. But on the game, I think people are underrating Phillip Rivers. I mean, people keep saying, well, he's never beaten Brady, but You know, he should have won the game in 06 where Brady throws the pick and Troy Brown gets the strip fumble. I mean, he's made 8 Pro Bowls. I think people are underrating him.
Okay, the Pro Bowls mean nothing. But, Craig, what's your thoughts on Phillip Rivers and his ability to win this game on Sunday?
I think if they protect him up front, I think he has every chance to win this game. I mean, you know, he's been better than Brady this season. He's a good quarterback. He throws, and I think, Maz, I think you talked about it earlier in the week. You know, the way he just throws to space, like there was a third down throw where he got belted. And you know, I have the video up on my column, but he let it go before Keenan Allen was even out of his break, and it was a perfect pass. Like he just.
So does he have to do that because he doesn't have the arm strength? I mean, I think that was Maz's point.
Yes.
I think Maz said that as a criticism, you know, not as a strength.
No, I don't know how he does it. Really, it's like it's borderline. You know, you would never teach anyone to do it the way he does it because he's able to get the ball in there somehow because he can anticipate it. So it's amazing.
I'll say it again. I just think he's dangerous because this could be his last chance. You know, great quarterback. Great career, last chance at a championship. Team's kind of feeling it. Maybe, you know, he's a rallying point. I just think that's something to keep in mind. Rich in East Bridgewater is going to tell us why the Chargers cannot beat the Patriots. Why, Rich?
Two reasons, in my opinion. I've been watching these guys for 1,000 years. But number one, the Chargers are flying 10,000-plus miles in 9-day span. Second point, Phillip Rivers has played 16 games in his career with the temperature 29 or below. Do you know what his record is in those 16 games?
Tell me.
1-15.
That's not true. That's not true. I heard it on the midday show today. It's actually 17 games and he's 10-7.
So did the midday show 10-7 or they say 1-15?
No, they said 10-7.
So go ahead. Did you look it up as well?
No. I'm just going by what the midday show said. So, like, I'm going to trust them over this guy with all due respect.
Sorry, Rich.
Of course, now that I think of it, maybe I shouldn't.
No, but so they looked it up 10-7 in those games.
That's what they said.
Okay, so I would just hate to think. I mean, he won 2 days ago. What was the temperature there? It wasn't 20, but
no,
it was.
No, it was like 50 degrees in Baltimore that day.
Well, that's a nice day.
I think he played only one game this year in 40 degrees or lower. I looked it up today in his splits, and it was in Kansas City. They won 29-28.
I just, at this stage, again, for him specifically, I'm going to leave the team out for a second, but for him specifically, he's been at this now, what is it, 14, 15 years. Again, this might be his last kick at the can. For a guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and whether you think he is this or not, he is going to be considered one of the best quarterbacks of this generation. That's going to be his rap. Whether you think that's overrated or not, that's what he is. He's going to be called. And it's going to be his last chance at a championship. He's going to let the weather or the time change or the travel or something like that get in the way of him being ready to go at 1 o'clock on Sunday? That would be a joke. If I'm not saying that's impossible, maybe it gets into him, but if it does, boy, is that an indictment.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't totally rule it out, but I don't see it happening. I mean, this guy is completely crazy. You know, I agree with you about the plane ride, the travel. You know, yes, it can affect some teams. This team's gotten on a plane everywhere, including to London, and won everywhere.
Not only that, they've won
at the toughest stadiums in the league.
He's been making children for 20 years. How much sleep has he actually got?
Good point, Murray. Well,
and he's been doing that commute thing. He's a nut.
Maybe those guys do it in the middle of the day. Maybe there's something wrong with doing it at night, Murray, so you don't know what time of day.
Tell you what, he's a lot of things. He's not soft, though.
He's not. Right, he's not.
He's not soft.
Tool now, bag. Do I rule out his receivers being soft in the cold? I don't know.
I can't speak for the team, but I would... I mean, the guy came in and played on a torn ACL. Sam in Watertown. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, Bedard, you touched on the Chargers being vulnerable at guard and at center. So do you think anyone outside of Lawrence Guy can be disruptive up the middle? Has Danny Shelton showed you anything to make you think he should even be out there? Or could someone like Malcolm Brown potentially be a force out there?
Sam, great call. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question on, you know, what they're going to do as far as personnel because, you know, Rivers is a statue in the pocket. You think that Claiborne might be active and Shelton, but they need Shelton. I would assume Rivers would be down this game, but, you know, I think that they are going to try to exploit the offensive line of the Chargers, and I don't think it's any of those guys that are going to do it. I think they're going to go... They might put Trey Flowers inside you know, in passing situations. Or what they've been doing with this amoeba front is basically they'll run one of the interior linemen into a gap, and then the linebacker, usually Van Noy or Hightower, will come off of them and play off that. That's how they've been getting pressure since the bye week, and so I expect that to continue.
Okay, but as we hit on before, I think, you know, you say the offensive line for the Chargers is, you know, susceptible. That's an opening for the Patriots. Do they have the talent to take advantage of it? You know, like, that's sort of a question. Some guys scheme, right? But if, am I relying on Malcolm Brown or Danny Shelton or these guys?
If it's Brown and Shelton, you're screwed. I mean, seriously, you're screwed now. Like, he mentioned the idea of putting flowers on the inside. I like that.
Well, in passing situations.
Yeah.
Are you doing that on first down?
I'll take it even on first down.
Really?
Yeah, I will. Against those, versus those two guys? Those two guys have been giving them jack all year long. Like, I don't know. Once you get to the playoffs, I love the matchup stuff. I just think the Patriots are vulnerable there. So, and of the three guys, the best, Greg, all joking aside, he is the best. The other two guys are useless.
Yes.
They are useless. I'll take my chances with Trey Flowers on the interior. I'll take, he'll fight.
More Bedard thoughts and your thoughts in our long commercial free segment coming up next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, I'm wondering what it says about the Chargers that they've been able to have so much success on the road this season.
Well, they're a good football team. Let's start with that. You know, they've been in a lot of close games, and they've won a lot of close games. They're a good football team. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. Kicker's had a great year. They've won a lot of games everywhere.
Again with their computer. Greg, what does San Diego's road record tell you?
They're tough. They're tough as nails, and they're not going to be scared
don't
of...
Don't do that to me, Jimmy.
Scared of Foxborough or, you know, the appearance of Belichick or Brady or any of that stuff.
So you think they're going to have that quality? They're not going to walk in there and wet their pants and, you know, play for second place?
No, this Chargers team reminds me more of the Ravens teams in the past. You know, sort of a chip on their shoulder. You know, they don't have a home. You know, so they're... I think this soccer stadium thing works. Even when they're home, half the stadium or more is the fans from the other team. So I think that all works to their advantage.
I mean, if there is any of that whole curse and, you know, mystique and all that stuff, this is the week it would show up, right? I mean, they've played at Kansas City a million times. They won there earlier in the year. And now it's Foxborough. They're better than the Patriots. Again, however slight, the reality is, as a football team, I think they're more complete than the Patriots are. Doesn't mean they'll win here because there are other factors. But they're a more complete team than the Patriots, and now you're coming in against the team that has maybe the, you know, or two guys that have the greatest intangibles ever in the coach and the quarterback. Like, if there was ever a week for them to bite the, you know, bite the dust on that, this is it.
Okay, let's wrap it up with some more calls for Greg Bedard. Why don't we? Eli, you've been waiting patiently, so I don't want you to sit there all day. Joey in Londonderry. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, what's going on? Last year, you know, Brady bought in, gave it 100%, but Bill, you know, Bill let him down the Super Bowl. Didn't help. If it comes down this year, we all know that the quarterback play decides the game most of the time. If Brady comes down to play and lights out, is Belichick going to help out at halftime? And if he does, what do you think the adjustment's probably going to be?
Well, Bill's going to help out. He's going to try and win the game, if I don't know what you're really driving at there. But I think that was a big trend on Wild Card Weekend. It's probably the case most weeks, but quarterback play was huge. You know, Andrew Luck just outplayed Deshaun Watson by such a wide margin that, you know, I just think that was the deciding factor in that ball game. What was the night game? So Dallas-Seattle was the one outlier. I mean, I think those guys were equal in that game, but that's on the Seattle coaching staff for not letting Russell Wilson throw the freaking ball. The Ravens Chargers was, I mean, that quarterback play was just a joke. And then Foles came through in that game, you know, and I don't think Trubisky was an abject disaster, but it was just such a, I don't know, I thought it was just a common theme all weekend. Do you think it applies this weekend too, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, what I wrote going into you know, they're two game road swing for the Patriots those last two games, including Steelers. I wrote Tom Brady. This team needs Tom Brady to be great. They need him to be great this weekend. He needs to play great, or else they're not going to win this game.
We've got Mike in Danvers on Josh McDaniels. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, guys? The first thing I want to say is Josh McDaniels, I think this job was his if he wanted it, and I think that I think he refused it. And I think it's a sign that we can take that he's been given some assurances by the Patriots. I don't see Bill Belichick, either this will be his last year or next year will be his last year. And I think that's shown in the fact that he did not take that Seattle job.
Okay, I disagree. Thanks for the call on just about every front. Yeah. I don't think he was offered the job in Green Bay. I don't think that was a fit there. I don't think they wanted him. Two, I do think he's the next coach of the Patriots, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. In other words, it's his if he sticks around long enough. But I don't think that's, you know, I don't think Bill's walking away after this year or next. I think it's going to be a little bit anyway. And so I disagree with that sentiment. And I'm fine with Josh. Like, I think Josh is a better fit here than Green Bay. I like the whole Josh thing here because of the continuity. George Seifert, right, who wasn't the greatest coach ever, but he was just able to, he was so ingrained in the system that he was, you know, not even the offensive system, but just the 49er way, that he was able to carry that thing forward, whether he was a good coach or not. And I think that applies to Josh. I think he could do the same thing. And so I want him here. But, you know, the whole thing about Belichick's shelf life, I've gone back and forth with. The last several years, I've been on this thing, and I still feel that way, that he's not going anywhere. Greg, you have any insight into that?
No, but I don't think he's going any place anytime soon.
You know? I mean, I'll tell you, though, it says something with McDaniels that he didn't get one of these jobs. I mean, he wanted the Cleveland job, for crying out loud. And my opinion now, let me be clear, his old man, I think, was dropping nickels to the Canton, what was the name of it again?
Depository.
Okay, the Canton repository, indicating that McDaniels had interest in the job. And it doesn't look like now he's pulling his name out of contention for everything, which means they've told him that he's not getting it.
Do you think last year was held against him?
Honestly, I would hope so.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. I would hope so.
You know what? Let's circle back to that later on in the show. Let's just finish up with Bedard here. Ben in the car, what do you think, Ben?
Hey, Felger, you said earlier that San Diego would be the biggest upset, or the upset of the week. Considering the Patriots' underperformance this year, specifically Brady, would that really be an upset?
Well, they're five-point dogs, so it's technically an upset. But I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, the Chargers and the Patriots are the closest matchup, so it'd be the, in terms of the point spread and expectations, it'd be the least dramatic upset. But it's still an upset. I mean, I don't know. Anyone that comes in here and beats the Patriots in the playoffs, I'd say is relatively unexpected. Not for me, but for the rest of the world. And, Greg, you think there's a good chance that that happens, or you think there's a decent chance that it happens? You take San Diego very seriously.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, after, you know, the places that they've won all year, you know, sort of the state of the Patriots at this point, and you know, also just the, you know, the way that the Chargers operate on, you know, both sides of the ball, this is a tough matchup.
Key to the game.
You know, I have a couple different things for the Patriots. Okay, you know, I talked about it earlier. They need to be effective running the ball against the nickel and dime defenses of the Chargers. Like they have to be effective. And or else if the Chargers just play coverage and rush Brady, it's going to be a long day. We've seen this against them, against good defenses, you know, sort of throughout their recent history in the playoffs. They need to dominate the game on special teams. You know, they've kept enough roster spots, paid enough money. You know, I don't care about them beating the Dolphins with special teams plays. You know, go win a game that matters with all these guys on special teams. They are capable of dominating this game on special teams, and they're going to need to do it, including, you know, Patterson could return a kickoff for a touchdown. They need that type of play. The defense has to make a big play. And I could see that happening. I could see them playing, you know, really good coverage, stripping Phillip Rivers, returning it. I could also see America waking up on Monday talking about a play where there might have been pass interference against the Patriots that caused an overthrow by Rivers and gets returned the other way. So those are my three keys, you know, for the Patriots.
Okay. We look forward to reading your coverage this week on Boston Sports Journal. We look forward to talking to you next week, big boy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
See you, Greg. Thanks for coming in. We have a 90-second update. You'll hear from Josh McDaniels. I think you've been hearing from him all day on him not getting that Green Bay job and where he goes from here. And then we'll come back and we'll continue to take your calls, all Patriots, all Chargers, all this. I want to hit on two things from yesterday that we started with, and one was the West Coast teams coming to the East Coast for this 1 o'clock start, how that fares. And, you know, what those numbers look like historically. I think we've nailed it down. We've got some hard numbers on that, so I'll give you the results on that. And the Phillip Rivers thing. Where you rank him all time, how, you know, is he one of the all-time greats? And this conversation, because I think it relates to Brady, or I do want to relate it to Brady. So we'll do both those things right after Murray's update. No commercials here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.